Kathy, praise the Lord. Thank you for taking the time and practicing and being willing to share that with us all. That blesses our heart, and I know it blesses the Father's heart. So thank you. And for the Brubaker clan, I was reminded that Judy is a Brubaker. She was, but, you know, it's still there, you know. So thank you so much. The Lord is good. A little backstory on that last song we sang. If you don't know, Raise a Hallelujah. There's a couple with a 4 or 5 year old son who the doctor said, there's no hope. He's not going to make it. And the church had been praying for this little boy and his family. And the leader of the praise team was given this song. I want you to write this, and I want you to sing it over this little boy. And he was healed, and he's still living and fine and healthy and normal. And they sang that song over this child and over the whole situation and circumstance, and they raised their hallelujah in the midst of their unbelief and what it looked like, and God was awesome, because he is. That's just who he is. So, Lord, thank you. You have not changed, and you do not change. This is the awesome God we serve. You're so good. Thank you so much for Jesus, who made it all possible. Spirit, Lord, we need you here in our midst this morning. I know you're here already, but take the words I've put together and make it fit for each person just as they need it, including myself. And I thank you that your word will not return empty or void this morning, but will accomplish your purpose in each of our lives. Let Jesus receive all the glory. We pray it in his name. Amen. So I was asked to preach this morning on the topic of peace. And talk about peace, most people think about Ukrainian war and that kind of external kind of peace. But I'm going to be focusing on experiencing real peace internally. You know, a lot of people today are going through life with a complete lack of inner peace. Would you agree with that? Why is that? Well, first reason, I believe, is because a lot of them don't have a personal relationship with the Prince of Peace. And if there's no Prince of Peace in your life, Jesus, then you're not going to have any inner peace, because they don't have peace with God. That's where peace starts, having peace with God. They don't understand that their sin has separated them from God, who is their true source of peace. And you look around at our world. It's a crazy world we live in. I mean, it's just nuts. It's filled with all kinds of troubles, problems, discord, sicknesses, diseases, natural disasters, hurricanes, floods. A lot of people are having trouble making ends meet financially, which causes great stress and no peace. Then there are many people that have interpersonal conflicts, whether it be in the home or at work, ongoing arguments, fights, tensions. And if that wasn't enough, then we have the newspapers and the evening news that just poured on a little bit more. No wonder people are so depressed and fearful and anxious and worried about tomorrow with no peace. Needless to say, peace is sadly missing in so many people's lives. And they're just miserable. We see them all the time, miserable people walking right by us. So in their search for peace, people try to cope in whatever way they can. They try to manufacture a kind of peace through overworking, just busyness. They won't think about other things, I guess. I don't know. Or worse, they take medications or even illegal drugs or go to drinking. They try to numb the pain, at least for a time. But they still don't have true or lasting peace. This is why Jesus came to the world. Thank you, Jesus. God sent him on a peace mission of sorts. He came to restore our peace in our relationship with the Father. And it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." That's the good news. God, who is perfect and without sin, hates sin and cannot be in relationship with anyone who is sinful. This is where Jesus came in. He took our punishment that we deserved, took our sin upon himself, and died in our place. And then us, having faith in him and his sacrifice, can be forgiven and have peace with God. Romans 5:1, Paul says this, "Therefore, since you have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's good news. So we enjoy all these benefits from Jesus' sacrifice. One of them is having peace with God and having the peace of God. Let me read that again. We have peace with God and also have the peace of God. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation." That's the word. This is what it says. "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation." So receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior is the way to have and keep our internal inner peace. Paul in Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So God is our source of peace, and he gives us his peace, and without him, there is no true peace. Now, contrary to what many people think or believe, inner peace has little to do with our external surroundings. Do you believe that? Most people think that those external things are the things that make for peace. Jesus told his followers in John 16:33, "In this world you will have troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world." I mean, Jesus is telling us, look, you're going to have issues. There's going to be things in life that are not going to be great. But then he says this in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. So let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So real peace, the peace that he has given us, is not the absence of troubles, but his presence in our lives. So when he said, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you," we would all say, yes, we believe that, right? Jesus said it. So if he says, "I leave with you peace, I give you my peace," we have his peace. And to think about, when Jesus actually said this, it was just hours before he would be crucified. It's amazing if you think about that. He said that knowing that he's going to go through all this. He was thinking about us at this time in his life. And so no matter what the circumstances or troubles that were surrounding, that surround us, we should have his peace because he promises it. In Numbers 23:19, it says this, "God is not a man so he does not lie. He is not human. He does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? The answer is no. He's faithful. If he said he's given us this peace, he has. If he said it's our peace, it's ours. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God are in him are yes, and in him amen. So it means what God says he will do, he will do, including giving us peace. So real peace is ours. It's a gift that he's truly given to us. But like any gift, we need to receive it, to have it. Yet, as believers, real peace can be elusive. We say, where is the inner peace I'm supposed to have? Why can't I sense his peace in my life? Have you ever asked these kind of questions? Or am I the only one here that is lacking peace at times? I'm sure you all have experienced that too. You say, well, if we're supposed to have this peace that passes understanding, where is it? Why am I fearful? Why am I discouraged? Why am I worried? Why? So even when we know the Prince of Peace and have a relationship with him, we can wrestle to walk in peace at times in our lives. And why is that? Well, I believe one of the reasons is we need to remember we have an enemy. Satan. He desires to steal our joy and our peace. John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief, Satan, does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. Sound familiar? And because the joy of the Lord is our strength, and peace is so important, it's his scheme. This is the enemy's scheme, is to plant negative thoughts into our minds so we lose our joy and our peace. The battle is raging between our ears. This is where the battle is, in our minds. Our thinking and our thought life is the battlefield. That's where this battle is being waged, right between our ears. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And so this thinking gets to be real important, because our thinking determines our actions. Our thoughts determines what we do. Most things we do started as a thought, and then we act on it. So we need to remember we're at war with this unseen enemy who is constantly bombarding our minds with negative and discouraging thoughts. He's relentless. Do I have an amen? Let's read Ephesians 6:12.
For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places.
We're in a real fight. If you want to live with real peace in your life, you're going to have to do some major warring in your thought life. You're not going to be able to just receive every negative word spoken over you or allow negative thoughts to just roll around in your mind and kick them around. You got to get rid of them. Because if you allow them to stay there and you allow those things that people say to you that speak out, it's just going to make things worse. And then as we allow these thoughts to influence our own speaking, then it causes more problems. How about 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5?
Second Corinthians 10:4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, earthly, but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
This is the key Paul is telling us about this war between our ears and our minds. He talks about weapons of our warfare. This is not an earthly war. This is a spiritual war. And he says, bring every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. So when these thoughts that the enemy places in our minds, and he's doing it constantly, you got to take that thought captive into the obedience of Christ. When you identify that thought as not being from God, not in accordance with his word, you got to say, no, I'm not receiving that thought. And you take that thought captive in the obedience of Christ and say no and refuse to have it. You got to really fight for it and against it. You just can't just lay down and say, oh, yeah. Satan and his demons have had centuries of practice in planting negative thoughts into the minds of people. They're masters at it. They know all the things that can trip us up and steal our peace. So we need to be aware of this. And as the word says, take these thoughts captive, especially before we speak them out with our mouth. Then we get into more trouble. Because our words are powerful for good and evil. Proverbs says in 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. We're kind of flippant with how we speak and what we speak, but I'll tell you, it's powerful what comes out of our mouth. Why? Because negative words are like seeds. All words are seeds, but negative words in particular, when they take root, they can bring a negative harvest in our lives. We reap what we sow. Here's an example. One way we respond as we face various hardships is to complain. We don't think much about complaining. Paul says, do all things without complaining. God hates complaining. And let's face it, we all live with some level of adversity in our lives. Last night, as I was doing a devotional too that I have by Bob Gass, and I just included this last night into this. He's a speaker and a writer, and this is what he writes, and I'm going to quote him. It's hard to live with adversity, but understand this. You forfeit the grace of God that will get you through it when you complain about it. Are you listening? It's hard enough to have adversity, but we forfeit the grace of God to get through it when we complain about it. The strength and joy needed to experience victory is available to you, but by choosing to complain or cling to the idol of a perfect life, you forfeit it. If you're serious about walking in God's peace, you will need to be willing to admit you're a complainer and be willing to repent and be changed. Otherwise, expect more strife, worry, uneasiness, and more wilderness times ahead. Sobering, isn't it? It's a choice. So as we speak those negative things that come into our mind, our worries, our fears, our troubles, they become bigger and bigger, and they become overwhelming. Anybody else besides me ever been there? When we do this, we go quickly from negative on this downward spiral, and we allow our thoughts to just run amok, and our words run amok. And we fall into the snare of the enemy. Our attitudes, our emotions, our lives go from bad to worse, and we feel like we're in sinking sand instead of standing on the rock of Christ. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Minds. It's in our minds where this fight is. Let's read Philippians 4, 6 to 9. Who has that?
Philippians 4, 6 to 9. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Are you hearing this? Am I hearing this? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your and hearts and minds. Fights in here, right here. Now, this doesn't mean we deny the truth about the various problems or circumstances we're in life. But we don't need to dwell or focus on these problems either. Where's your focus? If you, whatever you focus on just will get bigger. It always works that way. How about 2 Corinthians 4:18? Who has that?
So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
These are nice verses, but are you getting at this? We're supposed to fix our eyes on something we can't see. Sometimes you wonder about the Lord, huh? For what is unseen, what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. Temporary meaning subject to change. Right? Fixing your eyes on Jesus, he does not change. So, we need to find scriptures and address the situations and circumstances we're in and speak them over our lives and fill our minds with those things instead of speaking out the problem and thinking about problems. Fixing your eyes on what is unseen. This is called faith. Faith. In Mark, we're going to read this one, Mark 11, 23 to 24. This is Jesus talking about this fight we're in and how important our words are. So go ahead if you have that script.
Mark 11, 23 and 24. Jesus says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them."
We could read that verse again and again and again, and it still might not sink in completely. Jesus is telling us, whoever says to this mountain, now he's not talking about a physical mountain, he's talking about problems, issues, circumstances, whatever your mountain is. "Be removed and be cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says, will be done. And whatever he says," speaking it out, "therefore, whatever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." We need to make a quality decision to believe what God says in his word and speak it over our lives. Whatever you're dealing with, and we all have different things we deal with, grab a hold of a couple scriptures and just start speaking them over your life and watch the differences that will happen in your life. Romans 12, 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world." Don't be like the world. "But be transformed by The renewing of your mind. That's what you're doing when you're reading and speaking the word. You're renewing your mind. That's where the battle is, remember? It's right here. And you're renewing your mind saying, this is the truth. Not what's being fed me by the enemy. The truth is here, and as you speak it, you renew your mind. Again, we can be born again, saved, and yet live a life with little joy and little peace if we don't constantly renew our minds with the truth of God's word and combat the lies of the enemy. Jesus is our example. When Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, Satan was lying to him. What did Jesus say? Three words. It is written. What was Jesus doing? Quoting scripture. He was taking the sword of the Spirit and taking a good whack right on the enemy's back with that scripture. Cutting down the lies. Just like that. It is the sword of the Spirit. That's what he wants us to do. He wants to give the Satan a good whack when he gives us his negative thoughts in our minds. Hit him with the scripture. Hit him with the truth. Paul calls it fighting the good fight of faith. You know, it's not a good fight unless you win. We need to remember, we're not in this battle alone. We have a helper with a capital H. The Holy Spirit, who lives in you and in me. And it says this in 1 John 4:4, he that is in us, the Holy Spirit, is greater than he that is in the world, which is Satan. So if you really want to live in peace, you can, no matter what's going on in your life. John 8:31 to 32 says this, then Jesus said to those who believed, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's a big if, though, isn't it? Abide in my word. Abide in my word. Again, true peace is not the absence of troubles in life, but resting in God in the midst of those troubles. And when we do this, the world around us, those unbelievers that we run into all the time, they're going to be taking notice and see we have peace. They'll be able to tell it. They can sniff it out because they're looking for it. Remember during COVID, 2020 outbreak, the world was a mess. No peace. But many, many Christians just walked in peace. They could tell it. They knew it. Why aren't you all worked up? That peace will just come out of us. And others will know. It's Jesus' presence. And it's his peace that's on us. And it brings calmness and wisdom in situations around us. And in doing so, we're going to be lights to this world. Jesus says, you are light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and peace and glorify your Father in heaven. Paul learned this. He learned it. He wasn't just given it. He had to learn it. He learned to live this way. Philippians 4:12 says, I have learned the secret of being content in every situation. Yeah, God's peace in every situation. Now, remember Paul's situations? Stonings, shipwrecks, floggings, imprisonments. We're not, you know, I've never experienced any of those things. And yet I'm not having the peace that Paul has at times. So, yeah, we can learn from our dear brother. You know, like Paul, Christ did not use a magic wand over his problems in life. Peace doesn't come that way. Paul, like us, had to make tough choices and hold fast to God's word and choose to walk in peace to bring honor to Christ. To trust in him and know that he's going to be there. So, choose to focus on Jesus. Choose to get his word into your mind. Choose to do these things. Fight that good fight between the ears. And tonight, when you lay your head to your pillow, you're going to have a good sleep. Not worries, not fears. Psalms 127:2 says, he gives rest to his beloved. Sleep. That's my prayer for each of you and for myself. No matter what you're facing, that his peace would flood your hearts and your minds. Lastly, Galatians 5 says that the peace of God is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When the God of all peace comes to live inside our believing heart, he produces his peace. It's a characteristic that should be in our life. We can learn to accept difficult situations on earth when we remember that our citizenship is not here, but up there. Our real home is in heaven, and we're just passing through. Soon and very soon, we'll be going to see the King. I'll read this last verse as a benediction for us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, our Prince of Peace. Forgive us, Lord, when we allow the enemy to disrupt and steal the peace that you've given us. Help us to fight that good fight between our ears, Lord, when the enemy comes in to lie and steal and to cheat us out of our peace. Help us to walk in your peace that you've given us. And then help us to be that light to others around us, that we can be instruments of your peace, bringing peace to other people's lives who need peace so desperately. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your patience with us. For those here who have been fighting with us, Lord, help them to have victory now. And sweet peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Go in peace and serve the Lord.